Are we recording now?
I can't believe you guys made me mute my Slayer for this. You don't think the audience would want to listen to Slayer with me?
But licensing. I don't think we have the licensing for that.
Yeah, if they wanted to listen to Slayer, they would just listen to Slayer. They wouldn't listen to us.
I don't think anyone is listening
to us. I don't know. There might be music connoisseurs that only want to listen to lame podcasts that have Slayer in the background. And that's the only way they like to listen to Slayer.
I think that's legit. And that there are, in fact, people that do that.
Would you say we'll make sure to get those legit? Three people on our podcast.
So, we're recording? Red flashy lights on.
I don't know. I'm not, like, I have the thing mute, the tab. Oh, not on the tab. Like, it's not, the tab is not the one that I'm looking at. So, I don't
You're looking at the porno, aren't you?
I'm not looking at porno. I'm trying to figure out when the Fortnite servers are going to come back online so I can ditch you guys and play Fortnite.
Because you hate me. I had to break your computer so we couldn't play games.
The lightning did that.
I even went and got Friday the 13th and you have yet to play a game with me.
The lightning broke my computer while I wasn't even home. I had nothing to do with it. It was turned off. And there was a thunderstorm across town. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to cut you off. All wings report in. This is Leroy Roki.
You see, and then every time you do that, he waits. He sits there like silently, like he hasn't done this 14 times, and he doesn't know how to report in. And then we go off topic again.
I think it's because he needs it for the material. He's trying to stretch for time.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
Indeed.
No, it's just funny as hell, because it happens every single time. I mean, it's literally like a joke that writes itself. I'm just like, okay, just sit back, wait for it, and go.
He's like, let that da 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 let that da da
da circus.
I like so, it.
Of course, the one time I did play Friday the 13th, I died like in record time.
Oh yeah, that game's not. Well, I mean, it depends on how good the Jason is. It's not necessarily easy.
No, I was over at Leroy's place, and he's doing something. I was like, I'll give this a stab. And, like, I go over there, fix the car battery, and I'm like, all right, guys, let's go fix the car, or we need to go get the gas. So I go look for the gas, and I turn around, and some bastards filled up the tank and drove off. I'm like, well, that's unfortunate.
That might have been me. That's pretty much what I do. I wait for somebody else to fix the car. I just look for the keys, and then I gank the motherfucker.
I was like, why is there a car battery and a tank of gas just sitting randomly around a campsite? Like, why is it not in the car?
I drove a car right into Jason. Everyone jumped out of the car except for me. He chased them. I started the car again and drove off. I was like, that's what you get. Stay in the car, people.
Yeah, but if they had stayed in the car, he'd have come around for the driver, so you're lucky they did jump out.
Exactly. I was like, ha! you guys gonna report in?
Camping with Casey.
I can't report in yet. It's not my turn. This motherfucker does this to me all the time.
All right, this is waiting for Jeff.
And this is fucking never mind.
And this is Gas Wookie Garage, episode number. Insert number here.
Fair enough.
The man doesn't do his homework for nothing, folks.
He does homework.
No, you
Hard
don't.
Work is for those short on talent. I'm just saying.
Homework is for those short on talent?
No, hard work in general.
Oh, shit. I must be really fucking talented then.
Fuck yeah.
Well, it was like last time when we decided what we were going to do 2 weeks in advance, and Leroy shows up. It's like, I got nothing.
And yet we still had a really good show. I'm just saying.
And well, I mean, to be fair,
we need three people to pick up the slack.
Like, my homework for that took all of, I don't know, the 10 minutes before we started recording the show.
Yeah.
That's still 10 minutes more than Leroy brought.
No, hey. I know. That's my point. He had the 10 minutes sitting there while we were discussing the show before the record button got hit. Or maybe you had already hit the record button. I don't know. I never seem to know when that happens.
The world never knows.
I mean, it's not like there's a big red button on the website that says now recording.
No, no one looks at that. So are we going to do like a Tonight on Guess Wookiee?
Tonight on Guess Wookiee Garage, the Wookiee gets his fly caught on his nut bag. Shawnee gets salty.
And the Jeff listens to some Slayer.
And I listen to some Slayer. I should listen to some Slayer. And our topic for the evening is why you people suck to go to tournaments with and ways to not suck so much at a tournament.
Yeah, you know who you are. Fuck you.
Right. Don't be a jerk at a tournament.
All right. And that's the show, everybody. Thank you.
Keep on.
Yes. Yeah, keep on wrenching. Fuck you. Anyways, no. So it kind of got brought up in a forum that we're all a part of. Well, most of us are a part of. About like just how different people act at tournaments, things like that. And we have our own complaints in what we like to call tournament etiquette, because you know we have etiquette. Big word for you there, people. Etiquette.
It means it's a big word that subsidizes the phrase "don't be a douche."
Yeah, how to behave, not like a douche.
Right.
Don't throw A-wings, people.
Leave your Ed Hardy shirt at home and put your fucking baseball cap on straight and take the goddamn sticker off of it.
But I don't want to.
Please. Come on, round out the cap. Let's not be a douche.
Right. AKA, don't be a douche. So, what is the douchiest thing? Oh, actually, I think we should start with Casey, because I think it only just gets saltier from there. So, Leroy the Wookiee, what is the douchiest thing that you have ever seen or that has ever grinded you at a tournament, or otherwise?
I think the biggest thing that's come up is people just bouncing from tournaments, especially in, you know, like small stored tournaments, things like that, where, you know, you're maybe talking, you know, 16 to 20 people, and you get, granted, we all know, like, life happens, you know, there's people who have a family emergency and have to take off. Life happens, you know, people can understand that, but it's the people who literally, like, in the second round, realize that they aren't going to do anything, and they're like, yep, I'm done. And they don't even drop from the tournament, but wait for the round to start and just leave. I think that's one of the douchiest things that people can do. It kind of jacks up everything. Someone's, you know, I've been in a losing record at a tournament, and you know what? I suck it up, and you know what? I paid to get some games in, even if I know my list is awful and just awful.
So do me, do me a quick favor. Other than the obvious effect of now that particular person doesn't have an opponent to play that round, which is kind of rude, but for the people out there that have never organized a tournament or they're not familiar with strength of schedule and how that works, could you explain to us why that is such a douche move for the tournament?
Well, on the flip side, it also completely jacks up the ranking system because you've now just given someone a 200-0 victory. So, well, someone who is 1-1
specifically that he's referring to when he says
200-0, right? But right. So you're giving them a max point victory.
Yeah, well, substitute whatever maximum point victory works in various games.
Right.
I will stop you there. It's if they drop what ends up happening is the next round somebody gets a bye. And they get a 150. It's not a full 200.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if they never actually set in the drop and they just never showed to the game.
That's true.
Or if they start the game and concede and leave, like, at the beginning of the game or something.
Yeah, but, like, don't even set ships up. Just literally go, you win, and walk.
Okay, so they give that guy a max point victory. Why does that mess up the tournament? Can you explain that for people that don't know?
Well, it completely, it can throw someone, I don't want to say like a not good player, because sometimes people just have a bad luck of the draw, but it can put someone that is having, it can put a very weak list or a weak player up into an upper echelon match and potentially, and I'm really trying not to sound elitist here. Well, and I know okay, it comes so, off that way, but so it can throw someone into a completely different area of what they're used to. I mean, you can take someone from being, you know, 1-1, possibly going 1-2 in a very, you know, a decent MOV or even 2-1 with a decent MOV to someone who has pretty much jumped from, you know, like 8th place to like 4th place. Well, now you're in the top two tables and you're playing against a completely different caliber of player. And I mean, depending on how you fly, how new you are to the game, things like that, or whatever game you're in a tournament, depending on how good you are, you could be just mincemeat for someone else and pretty much give them a 200-0 win as well.
Well, and don't forget that sometimes it's not about that either, because sometimes good players don't do well in a specific tournament because they've got bad luck or they didn't bring a good list that game. So if you've got someone who's having a bad day or brought a bad list or is not a great player and you suddenly throw them on a top table, now you're giving a good player an easy win. And therefore, the other guys at the other closer top table next to them are having to fight for their victory while dude number three is getting an easy one.
Yeah, the person that's at that, you know, maybe not the first place table, but the, you know, the third, fourth place table, it just crushes that person and jumps into first place so far ahead of everyone else that it's not even funny. I mean, it can make or break a tournament at that point.
Right, so when you leave a tournament like that, you're not just giving your opponent a boost, you're likely giving a really top-tier player a really good points boost off of him and completely throwing off the top rankings of the tournament.
Yeah.
Well, it also works the other way, because if the top player, because usually when that happens, it's usually towards the end of the tournament, so chances are that person may not actually be in the upper half of the rankings, so it may not affect that, but what it can affect is if a top player has played that person that dropped, it's going to drop their margin of victory, their strength of schedule. So where you should have been ranked maybe 1 or 2, you could actually get bumped down to 3rd, and if there's not enough turnout, you could basically miss the cut. So
right.
Not to mention the fact that there's somebody that did pay to get 4 games in, had no intention of winning. They just wanted to play 4 games and get some experience, and you give them a bye, and they only got 3 games.
So basically, I think it sounds like the moral of the story here is that if you're in if you're in any tournament, but especially if you're in a smaller store 8 to 16 man tournament, if life happens and you've got to drop, at the very least, do it the right way. And if you don't have to drop, you know what? You showed up to play 4 games, 5 games. Just play them. Why not?
Yeah. I've had it affect me in tournaments to where, I mean, it wasn't a drop, but it was a collusion win, I should say, where both players decided that, hey, you get the win. And I ended up defeating the person who took the win. But because he had a 200-0 victory and I lost only in the very top match, you know, it was a rank 1 and 2 match at the very end. There was no cut. And I lost that match. It actually dropped me out of the top 3.
Yeah, and I remember that one specifically because you basically would have been 2nd place had it not been for that, and instead of being 2nd place where you should have been, you got dropped down below even ranking at all.
Yeah, and in out of 1, 2, and 3, I beat 2nd and 3rd place, and I lost to 1st place, but I think I ended up in 4th.
Yeah. So, douchebag move. So, Mr. Utah, what is the one thing that you have witnessed or seen, be it a general topic like the last one or a specific circumstance where you thought tournament etiquette was just not observed?
I want to pause it real quick. So just for all the listeners, so we're all coming at this from a little bit different viewpoints as well. Me more as just kind of a seasoned grizzled player, Utah as a TO and player, and Jeff just as a connoisseur of all the games. So, you know, well, predominantly I play X-Wing, things like that. You know, there you go. You know, Jeff comes from backgrounds of playing, you know, Warhammer, things like that. And, you know, Utah TOs multiple things. So we're all coming at it from different areas. And I really wish Arnold was here because we keep bugging him, but he's not returning our messages. We really wanted to get the new player perspective as well because he had a couple of good viewpoints that we've had that he's brought up, but I don't want to speak for him and some stuff that he has there. But, you know, maybe we'll throw it up on the Faceballs as a conversation point after we post this.
Cool. Okay, so, Sean, Wookie tried to buy you some time. What was your biggest gripe, your number one tournament etiquette gripe?
From a TO point of view, it's the post-tournament bitch session. That you see somebody that either, and I've seen it both ways, either just loses and ironically loses their shit, like they can't just accept that they lost, or I've seen a few times recently where somebody wins and they're actually so surprised that they start almost complaining about it. Like, you know, this shouldn't have happened, or I don't know how I won. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, win one match, yeah, you're lucky. Win two, you know, stuff goes your way. But you win four, five, six matches, that's skill. I mean, you got to be a good player to win that many matches. And for anybody to sit there post-match and be like, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I won, or I shouldn't have lost. This is stupid.
You rolled six crits of freaking every volley.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I've seen at tournaments where, like, people bring, you know, a meta list. Like, no effort in building it whatsoever. Read something online, brought that list, and they lose. And they're like, I don't understand how I lost. I'm like, well, you didn't build a list. Yeah, get good.
Right. Yeah, there's a big difference between having a really good list and knowing how to fly a really good list, or play a really good list, or deck, for that matter.
Yeah, because no matter what you bring, you still need to fly it. I mean, I know that's pretty stupid to say, but at the end of the day, you can't just bring ship A, B, and C and win. You know, there's a counter to every list. Now, some of them are obviously harder to beat than others, but I mean, no list is an automatic win. And you just see these people bring lists and they get, you know, extremely salty because, you know, either they lost, or, you know, they wanted to practice for something else and they end up winning the entire thing. And I'm like, dude, you won. What's your problem? You know?
Like, Sean, to interject real quick, I'm not trying to cut you off. Like
second time?
Yeah, I know. Hey, the first time was to buy you time.
Well, then you just took it away.
Well, fuck your face. Anyways, I'm sure some of you may. It's on YouTube. The Sling Paint guys, they're decently popular in X-Wing. I mean, they bring up some good points, they review stuff, things like that. But Birdo over at Sling Paint, on their newest video that they had, he was talking about a list that he brought. He just brought 5 A-wings with crack shot and snap. Snap and crack on him. And he explained X-Wing in very simple term that it's a game of rock, paper, scissors. Depending on your list, you know, if you bring rock, paper can beat you. If you bring paper, scissors can beat you. I mean, granted, dice are dice and stuff happens. But realistically, that is the case. There is usually a counter to whatever you bring.
Right. However, it shows a really good player in really good skill, or just amazing dice rolls, when you take the guy who's got your counter and you achieve victory anyways.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when you win tournaments right there, basically.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's store championship season, so you see a lot of bragging online, which, you know, if one of us won a store championship, I'm sure we'd brag as hell.
But, oh, I've dragged my nuts on all your faces.
Yeah, that's true. But it just seems like some people are either just
cashews,
are just way too proud. I'm like, dude, you didn't make that list. Just, you won, be grateful, move on. Stop acting like you own the world for 1 week. And just, you know, take your plaque and go home.
And you know what? Like, just kind of to interject a small point on top of that, that is why I always write my own lists and I do not play meta stuff. Because the day I kick everyone's ass in a tournament with some not meta stuff that I came up with completely on my own, I will brag that much harder and that much louder.
Does that include even stuff, or I should say, does that exclude the jank that I help you make?
No, that's fine.
Okay, cool. Because our minds together is like Captain Planet, but Captain Janky.
Yeah, as long as it's not some shit we read off the internet and figured out how it works. And,
no, yeah. Captain Janky. I mean, come on, dude. You had a list with Luke Skywalker in it, and you were doing solid with it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at the great players out there. You look at, like, some of these big tournament victories in various games, and it seems especially X-Wing, almost, where you'll see this guy win, you know, a Worlds tournament, and, like, you see some ships in his list, and you're like, man, nobody flies those. Well, why is that? Because he wrote his own list. He created the meta. You know what I mean? And he walked in there with his head held high, knowing what his stuff did, and not playing what the rest of the crowd was. And that's why he took victory. So, if you really want to be a great player, get imaginative and start writing your own stuff.
Yeah, on the flip side, though, also just accept sometimes combos don't work. You know.
Oh, it's true.
There's a reason why you don't see certain ships and certain combos on the table, because they just don't work. I mean, as much
well,
as
yeah, you're going to go through a million iterations of crap to come up with something good.
Yeah. But, like, if you're out there dropping, you know, list ABC and it's not working, don't get pissed at the other player because you lost. I mean, let's face it, you may have just brought a shitty list. I mean, or just had a bad day. Don't take it personally. I mean, if the guy you're playing against rolls 4 crits every single time, then there's just nothing you can do about it. You know, nobody's list is like, yeah, I can take 4 crits and not worry about it. No, just take what the dice give you and move on.
Or take what the dice give you and throw your A-Wing.
Hashtag. And specifically, I think, Sean, in your example of what upset you was a pretty specific example of something that happened around here. But...
Well, this was actually, to be honest with you, happened this weekend at Destiny. I won't name him. Actually, I don't remember the guy's name, so I can't name him, but it was pretty much they brought a meta deck that they just saw somebody win a store championship with, you know, went 3-0 the first 3 games, got real cocky, and then got their asses handed to them, and they were just like, this shouldn't lose, this shouldn't lose, there's no way this shouldn't lose. And I'm like, obviously it can, because you did. So, yeah. I mean, just if you don't put any effort into your list, don't test it, don't make adjustments, and just, you know, go to the store with what you saw online, you pretty much are stuck with what you get. You know,
losses happen, people. The greatest players out there lose games all the time. That's why they're so good, because they learn from their losses.
Yep.
Or they throw their A-Wings across the store.
Sometimes.
Hashtag RIP Arvel.
Remembering Arvel. Yep. Just for everyone who wasn't there, I threw Arvel across the store because I was having a bad day.
Well, and actually, Casey, or Leroy, is a really good example of a player who I think is one of the better players when it comes to list building and tactical mindedness that I've ever met, but you'll never see him place in anything because, God, his dice rolls hate him. So, you know, it happens. It happens to the best of them. It really does.
I thank you for your kind words, sir. And on that note, since you can't ask yourself, Jeff, how do you feel is the worst thing that you can see in a tournament?
Well, okay, so I think this one's going to be a little obvious, and yet I feel like it needs said. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think the worst thing that someone can do at a tournament is cheat. It sounds obvious, right? Like, nobody likes a cheater. It's just a game. Why the hell is anyone cheating? Nobody knows. However, believe it or not, it happens more often than you'd think. And that's partially because we're polite. And if you're a polite gamer and you're just there to have fun, you're maybe not watching every last little thing or looking at every last little dice roll or paying attention to every last little card. And sometimes things can get
their ship off the board when they ran into a bomb and they only had 3 damage on a 4 health ship.
Sure. That'll happen. I mean, and there's the accidental, oh, I misread this rule, or oh, I wasn't thinking about this correctly. And that's okay. It's okay to call your opponent out on those. In fact, probably encouraged by that opponent, because if they genuinely didn't realize they were doing it, they want to know if they're making a mistake, right?
Yep.
But I've definitely seen people at large tournaments just straight up cheat. This doesn't apply too much to X-Wing or Destiny, in fact, because they use special Fantasy Flight created dice that are only used for those games. But I have seen other games that use, just say, D6s or D10s or whatever, the standard kind of dice that the game uses. And I knew a guy who used to buy, he would go out of his way to buy those super, super tiny dice. He would get those little itty-bitty dice. He would roll them on his side of the table, pick them up. Of course, you're looking across the table at some super tiny dice. You can't read the numbers. You don't know what was there. You have no idea what he rolled. He'd pick them up, and then he would tell you what he rolled as a result. I watched a guy win a 150-man tournament with a $200 entry fee at a fancy hotel. And he won. He won first place by cheating the entire time, rolling tiny dice and picking them up, because most of the people he played against were out-of-towners. They didn't know better. They were trying to be polite. And, so the guy walked away with the grand prize for cheating the entire time.
And I'm going to piggyback off of that for a little bit, because this is one thing that, it's not necessarily an etiquette thing, but something that does bug me as a TO is when people don't ask for the TO. Like, don't just assume your opponent is right. I've seen so many people get screwed over because they don't understand a combo, they don't understand that maybe there's a new FAQ, and let somebody just roll them over. And then they come back after the match going, oh, I mean, he was barrel rolling on rocks and stuff. I couldn't stop him. And you're like, you can't do that.
Right. That is a perfect example of cheating, too. There's a lot of ways to do it, people. Fudging your dice rolls, fudging rules. There's a lot of things you can do. I've seen people who are real sneaky, and when they go to measure the range, when they go to put the range ruler out or the measuring tape or whatever this particular game uses, I've seen them where they'll put their hand on their ship or their model, right? Like, as if...
Slide it.
Yeah, and slide it. But they're doing it, like, and you're not thinking about it, because you're thinking, well, I would put my finger on it, too, to make sure it didn't move or that I didn't hit it with this range ruler, right? But then you'll see them slide it and be like, oh, I'm just barely in range, yay. You know, and it, often, when it's just you against them, you don't see it. And usually that's when, like, a third party or someone in another table or a TO walking around, or, you know, sometimes not until days later on the Twitch stream, somebody catches that, like, oh, wait, that guy totally cheated, right? They're live on camera or something.
Yeah, and I think, not outright cheating dice, but possible loaded dice, I think it actually came up at an FFG tournament for X-Wing. One that I was actually at, where they were using non-sanctioned FFG dice, and it was a lot of the local players, and they were owning people until people were like, no, we're going to use these dice only. And because they weren't running FFG standard dice, you really can't make a cause for, no, let's use mine instead. You know, like, they were always rolling hits or always rolling evades, things like that, where it's just like, no one's that damn lucky. You'd roll a blank every now and then.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I think it did come up. I could be wrong, but I think it came up like a year or two ago with that potential little scandal there. And I think afterwards is when the big only FFG stuff is allowed at FFG sanctioned things, where they kind of put the hammer down on it because people were pissed.
Well, and I've got to wonder, too, and half the reason that cheating upsets me so much is because, you know, if I was a pro NFL team or there was money riding on this, you know what? At some point, you can't blame a guy for cheating. But what we're doing is called a hobby, and people are playing for fun. And the grand prize might be really cool, and you might really want it, but it's never going to pay your rent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are there to have a good time. And the best thing you get, the number one prize you get for winning some sort of event or doing good at a tournament is pride. You get pride. And how can you walk home proud of a victory when you cheated? Can you even? Do you? I mean, what do you do when you look at yourself in the mirror the next morning? Do you feel like that you're an accomplished person because you just completely cheated the game?
Or yeah, I fake dice rolled better than anybody.
Right, yeah. But now go out there and win without cheating one of these days. Just try it. For all those cheaters out there, give it a shot. One time, go out there, play a game without cheating. You'll lose because you're probably terrible and that's why you cheat. But keep trying it until you win. And tell me that that doesn't feel like a much better victory.
Oh, I love hot dice battles. Are freaking fantastic. Those are some of my favorite games. Where, like, when everyone's just rolling, like, out of their freaking mind, and it's literally just a slugfest of just who can take the most abuse. Well, yeah, I have no problem with those.
It was like when Jeff was playing our good buddy Raul, and Jeff just had... And for those who don't know Jeff, the last couple of months has just had some of the best statements in the history of the planet. But he was telling Raul, he's like, look, next time I'm going to record this match and see why people get so frustrated playing you because you just roll out of your mind. And he's like, I'm not mad. It's just infuriating because it's like there's nothing you can do about it because the dude across the table is rolling 4 or 5 hits a turn. No, no target locks, no focus, just natural natty hits. And at that point, you're like, what the hell are you supposed to do?
I mean, yeah. And we get it. It happens. It's a dice roll game. Weird dice rolls and crazy odds occur. It happens all the time. And of course, you're going to be a little frustrated when it happens to you. That's not necessarily an excuse to be a D-bag, but yeah, it's nobody enjoys that. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I didn't even notice, like, I mean, I think we were both getting to the point, like, we would both go on fits of just rolling out of our minds in our last match, and I was even, I let Little Salty roll my dice for a bit, and he was going pretty crazy for a bit, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to cool these off for a bit, and, but yeah, I mean, we were trading out, I was like, I noticed you're getting a little bit frustrated after a little bit. I was like, man, like, it'd be great if I could actually evade something. And, like, it was actually a match that was going down to the wire. I made a dumb move, and I think I'm, what, 4 for 4 on new wave releases since I've started playing of flying a new wave ship off the board?
I mean, I noticed that last day we played, and I was just like, it's almost like Leroy has to baptize a new wave by flying one off the board. And it's not intentional. It's not like he tries to do it. He's just like, oh, fuck, flew off the board again. I'm like, why do you do this with new waves? It's like, you do it once, get out of your system, and you never do it again.
I will say it was a little funny for me in that game because there was no way I was going to win. There was no way. He had me beat, hands down. And when he flew off the board, it was like, oh, I guess I did win. That should have never happened. But right. Okay, I'll take it.
Well, like to give an example of what being a good sport is, and Jeff will know where I'm going with this. I was playing Jeff, and I forget the last matchup, but it was the final shot. And, you know, Jeff's sitting with my son, who's, you know, crit junior, because he rolls nothing but crits. Mm-hmm. And
that he rolls a crit per bag of Skittles now. His fee's gone up.
It's a pack of Pokemon. Jeff upped the ante.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Damn you, Jeff.
Yeah.
But Jeff, I think, like, you got, was it one crit on the table? And then Jeff's like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't good. And then I blank out. And then Jeff, just in pure joy, just like, oh, it's good.
This is awesome. Yeah. Well, I had one TIE fighter left on the table. He had one Z95 left on the table. One damage was going to kill either ship. And yeah, I rolled, it was range one with my TIE fighter. I rolled 3 damage on his Z, and it was 2 blanks and a crit. And I'm thinking, there's no way he's not going to evade this. He's going to evade this. He blanked out, and I'm like, I went from, like, damn it, he's about to shoot me back and win, to, yeah, I blew that thing up!
But it was funny, because it was like watching somebody on the verge of quitting X-Wing. They're going, I want to fly this again! Of course, you know, my son's walking across the store like, yep, killed another ship. I'm like, god dang it.
I do think he has the most check marks on his cockpit, for sure.
Oh, that's all he does. I think it was David that we were sitting there playing, and David's like, I gotta destroy this ship. And he's like looking over for Logan. And Logan's like, I got this. Just walks over, grabs his dice, rolls 2 crits and a hit and a blank, walks off. And I'm like, now that dude's, now my boy's got swag now when it comes to X-Wing. He's like, hand me them dice, crits, peace, and just walks off.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely, I don't know, I think definitely some of the major three, like, don't be that guy at a tournament. Do you think there's any good honorable mentions, though?
I think rule Nazis are the ones that lately I'm getting a little salty with. I know me salty, you know, never happens. But
shocker.
You see, like, people who say they know the rules and get something completely wrong and just won't fess up to it. They're just like, no, 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 that's the way it's supposed to be. And you're like, no, in the FAQ, it's pretty clearly worded right here. And they're like, nope, nope, nope. That's not what the intention is. I'm like, I don't care what the intention was. This is the way the card is written. I mean, unless...
Here is reality. F your intentions.
Yeah. That being said, if you're playing a list or a deck or a, I don't know, cards and dice with Dice Masters, whatever game you're playing, and you have something on the table that is highly in contention about how the rules work, and you're trying to pull off janky combos, and you're having to check erratas and FAQs and make sure that this interacts with that just right, you're probably a dick and stop playing that.
Well, I mean,
you're probably making a negative play experience for everybody sitting across the table from you at that point. Not, you know, you might not be, but probably you are.
Yeah. I mean, it just, if you're going to do that and you're not entirely sure, you know, get with the TO, find out how they would rule it. So that way, you know, if it comes up later in a tournament, you're not sitting there arguing with somebody for 10, 15 minutes. You know, taken away from the match, and you know it gets judged against you, and you get all mad about it.
I mean, obviously, though, there's going to be circumstances where it happens, right? Like,
yeah,
there is sometimes where the you know your list and you know how it works. Your opponent knows his list and how it works, but these two things collided somewhere in the middle, and you guys were like, "Huh, how do these two things together work? Huh, I never thought about that before." It happens.
Yeah, I've had it happen, and I mean, it was at a regional, and I felt a little bit bad because I was kind of a dick to the guy, but he was like, well, I'll let you do it this time, and then we'll call the judge over. I'm like, all right, I'm not trying to be a dick, but if you let me do it this round, I'm doing it the rest of the game. So you either call him now or you let me do it. Your choice. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're going to accept your fate on this turn, then you're going to accept your fate for the rest of the game. I ended up being right, but still, it's like, you can't be like, well, I'll let you do it this time, and then next time when he's a little bit closer, we'll do it. No, if you're going to allow it, you have to allow it.
And that goes back to what I was saying. Like, if you don't know how it works, call the TO.
Exactly.
You could be right. I mean, if there is a debate between the two of you, don't just, you know, assume they're right.
Yeah, get the impartial person. That's what they're there for.
At the same time, don't be a dick about it. I mean, on both sides.
Like, so
you don't understand how something works, and it's going to make or break a game, just call the judge over and be like, hey, can we just make sure this is how it's supposed to work? And then play on.
I'm really glad you brought that up specifically, because it kind of works back to another point in my original cheating argument that I did forget to make. And sometimes, because of, you know, the way certain rules work out, it is slightly unclear and or ambiguous as to how it works. And maybe even the way it really works might be counterintuitive to the way you would think it works, right? I mean, it's kind of a chain of thought here, but follow me for a minute. Because I had, very specifically in a game that I was new at, I hadn't played the game much before, and I was playing with somebody, and a certain rules interaction came up where I wanted to do something that would negatively impact him, and he explained, well, this is why that doesn't work, and you can't do it with this timing, so on and so forth. He explained it in a way that I was like, okay, you know what, that makes sense, you know the game better than I do, sure, I won't do it then, let's move on. Later in the game, and the game kind of went long, and so I think he sort of forgot, he did the exact same thing with one of his units and shot at me. And I was like, now hold on a minute, let's rewind the tape. You just told me I couldn't do that, and now you're doing that. He called over a buddy of his. It wasn't a TO because it wasn't technically a tournament. Mind you, playing this guy might have, well, been like playing a tournament because he was a real douche. But he called over a buddy of his to help clarify the rule. His friend indeed clarified that he could shoot in that circumstance, and so could have I had. But that was already so long ago that, of course, we can't rewind back to that. And so, therefore, if you're going to misquote a rule early in the game and then start playing it right only when it benefits you, guess what? That's cheating.
Yeah, that's a dick move.
You are a cheater.
Total dick move, yeah, and total cheating move.
And so, if you're at a tournament and this happens to you and Leroy's story happens to you, remember, they ruled it this way once. The two of you ruled it that way once. That's how it's going to work at the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And if they call a TO, you tell them that. You tell them, listen, this is the way we agreed to play it already.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to work from now on. It's going to be fair and balanced for both parties. Maybe the rule is incorrect, but if you've already done played half the game that way, then, you know, it's only fair you finish it that way.
And I'm going to add another one because you sparked a memory. And personally, this is the one that bugs me the most. Don't blame the TO. You know, there's going to be combos that the rules just don't explain. I mean, there's stuff that new ships come out, new combos come out that exist outside the normal rules, and there is a lot of pressure on those TOs to try to come up with the most accurate, fair ruling. And at the time, they may do everything with the best intentions, but they could be wrong. You know,
especially with like one-off case interactions that were probably unexpected when the designers wrote the rules.
Yeah, because like one example, it wasn't a tournament, but we were at one of our stores, Doc's Comics and Games, shameless plug. And
in Frisco, Texas,
of course.
Stonebriar Mall area. Yeah.
Was flying the new Skurg, the new wave of X-Wing. And the ability says you may keep a friendly bomb from detonating. And there is a debate on how that works. Now, normally you think, well, you just keep a bomb from exploding. You know, there's no debate on it.
Sounds pretty simple, right?
Yeah. But another person was asking, at what step do you have to declare that you're going to keep that bomb from exploding? And can you measure before you declare if you want that bomb to explode or not? And I was like, well, this is the only ship that can do this. And as of right now, there's no rule on how this works. I mean, we can rule it one way and you finish it that way, or we can wait for, you know, an FAQ to come out, but there's no right or wrong answer here.
Right, you just have to use your best judgment possible, yeah. Which is why you're the judge.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a third-party arbiter is just required when things aren't clear. And, you know, any good gamer is going to realize, for better or worse, you're going to have to trust the judgment of that third-party arbiter because things aren't clear.
Yeah, because, I mean, the rules don't say you can, and the rules don't say you can't. And that's a nightmare for a TO, because it's like, well, now no matter what I rule, somebody's going to take it personally. And that's the thing that just irritates me the most. I'm like, don't take it out on me. I mean, either I rule for you or I rule for them. But I'm going to make the best judgment I can. And I've seen TOs just get frustrated because somebody's just like, oh, they made it personal and ruled against me. And I'm like, no. They're going off what the rules state and the best possible example they can come up with.
Right.
Stop taking stuff personally. Now, coming from me, that's pretty rich, but still.
Especially keep in mind, there's referees out there that make lots and lots and lots of money to do a very similar job. And these guys are out here doing that for free. It's their free time, and they're out there trying to make sure that everybody has a good time, and they're not getting paid a dime. So, you know, appreciate the fact that that person has donated their time and effort into everybody else's fun, and don't be a jerk to them.
Yeah. I'm a close runner up here. It's more so not while playing. It's more while spectating. Is shut the fuck up.
If
you're going to make comments and stuff like that, like, cool, but you got to do it to where people can't hear it. You know? If you're going to make any kind of comment about the match, about how things should have worked, things like that, and I mean, I've been guilty of it. Or there was a missed opportunity, even. And I think that's more of the big one, like, oh, they just fucking forgot to do that. Shut up.
Yeah, especially shut up if they still have the opportunity to do that and they've forgotten so far. Because you're going to remind them to do something that they forgot. And in a tournament, that is super bad for them.
And it's always not with bad intentions. I mean, I see it a lot of times where people are just like, oh, no, you should have done that or blah, blah, blah. And they mean well. But like you said, they're in the game. They know how that game has been flowing. They may have saw something you didn't, and it's always easy to second guess after, you know, the mistake was made.
Yeah. There are certain acceptable comments from the peanut gallery, things like, oh, wow, that was unexpected, or interesting, nice build, or, you know, but...
My favorite is, really?
Yeah. But come on, be realistic. Don't say anything that's going to affect how the game turns out.
The simple golf clap is always quite effective. You know, like, defenders make a 4K, golf clap.
Yeah.
Golf clap, you know?
Totally acceptable.
I don't know what's your thought on this. And it's kind of a hypothetical. None of us are really new players anymore. But, like, what if a newer player in their first tournament setting, playing against a more experienced player, probably has lots of friends there, things like that, if they're hovering around... what would you say as an experienced player, maybe cheering on your friend, if the newer player was like, hey, could you guys leave? Because you're throwing me off. How would you interpret that?
I mean, if he came straight out with, hey, could you leave? I don't know. I might honestly feel a little personally offended. However, if he's asking you to leave, that means you've probably crossed the line already. And right. Maybe you deserve to be asked to leave. Because, yeah, if he's a newer player that doesn't have a bunch of friends around him, and you got all, you know, and the other guy's got all of his friends around him, and they're smack-talking or cheering him on, and the dude's having a rough game, it's going to really hurt his, maybe not his self-confidence, but his, it's going to really hurt his focus, and it's going to really make a bad player experience for him.
And that's in the rules. People forget that they can't just, if you're hovering around a table and you're being distracting, that player has every right to tell you to get lost.
Right.
I mean, you call the T over and say, hey, these guys are being distracting, and they'll get rid of them. I mean, there's a reason, like, when you watch Worlds or Nationals or whatnot, that they put a freaking barrier around the table. They don't want people being distracting.
Right.
And
like I said, I might honestly, in answer to your question, feel a little personally offended, but chances are you deserve it. They're not going to ask you to leave for no damn reason.
Yeah, I think on the flip side, though, most of the group that we run with, if we see one of our friends going up against anyone else that's not in our crew, we immediately start cheering for the other guy.
Yeah. Right.
To just completely trash them.
Yeah, that's what's kind of like that humorous, frustrating part, where it's like, you guys are in the freaking garage with me. Why are you cheering him on?
Because screw your face.
Yeah,
we hate
I know,
you.
But still. I'm just
well,
like,
see, the,
damn it, stop it.
The problem is we play against each other so damned often that 90% of the time you're the bastards shooting my stuff. So when somebody else is shooting at you, I'm like, yeah, get revenge for me. Kill that bastard. He shoots me all the damn time.
Yeah.
I do have one kind of fun story.
But hold on, before you do that, I think that's actually how we've met most of the new people that like hang around with the garage and stuff, is the fact that we've just shown up in a match of theirs and just started cheering them on.
Yeah. Right.
They're like, these guys are awesome. Good. They're cheering for me. And we're like, no, we just want to see the other guy lose.
But you're pretty cool, too. Yeah.
We used to have a saying back in the construction industry when I did that. Be nice to everybody, because you never know which one of these guys is going to be your foreman next job. Yeah. Same thing applies to gamers. Be nice to the new gamers. You never know when they're going to be your store champion kicking your ass in a few months from now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I kind of have an interesting story on, it's sort of a cheating story because we're on topic, but it's also just maybe a funny story in a way. I didn't think it was funny, but everybody else I tell it to does. You guys are familiar at least, with the existence of Infinity, the, miniatures game, correct?
Indeed, sir.
Yeah.
So, you know, most games have sort of a point value. You know, X amount of points is this unit, X amount of points is that ship, so on and so forth. And Infinity is no different. It's a 300 points is what they use as their base for a tournament scale game. But they have a secondary measurement that they use to build their lists, which is called special weapon cost. And in a 300 point game, you get a 6 special weapon cost value. Which, basically what that does is it stops players from just taking a whole 300 points of nothing but the most broken stuff. Because the super broken stuff will have a special weapon cost of like 2 or 3, and you can only have so much of it in a list. Long story short, the game was fairly new at the time, and it was the first local tournament we had ever run for it. And the guy who ended up winning... And mind you, I never played against him. I didn't one not one time was I sitting at a table against him. So I would contend that I never had an opportunity to notice this. But his other 4 opponents maybe should have. the Corvus Belli, the company that makes Infinity, sent us out this really cool engraved crystal trophy for our, you know, our first ever tournament. And, you know, we all thought that was really cool of them. It was awesome that they were supporting the local scene. It's a beautiful trophy. And so the guy wins the tournament. The store owner goes and grabs the trophy out of the case, hands it to him, and he says, "Congratulations." The guy grabs the trophy. He's already got his army packed up, which was strange that he was so quick to pack up his army. And he ran out the door without saying a word, literally sprinted out the front door, sprinted to his car, jumped in, started the key, drove off as fast as he could with this crystal trophy. Most people are looking around slightly confused. His third round opponent goes, raises his hand and goes, "I think he cheated." And we were like, "Wait, what? Is that why he just sprinted out the door?" So what it was he had a 300-point army, so most people that weren't aware of his units and stuff wouldn't have known the difference, but his special weapon cost was like 15. After we looked through the book and the lists and sat there and broke down what he had and what he was using, he basically completely ignored the special weapon cost mechanic and just blew it out of the water and managed to go four rounds with nobody saying anything until after he had already sprinted to his car with this trophy.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Hold on. Did he leave his stuff there? Wasn't that the one where he left his stuff there too? I think I remember you saying that story.
The same guy left his stuff there on a different occasion, and there was recompense, yes. Not that particular time he didn't leave his stuff, okay. Though.
Okay, got it. Sorry for a different time. Anyways, yes, Sean.
So, when something like that happens, do you... I'm struggling a way to find a word this question, but this had happened at a store championship last year, to where somebody won the entire tournament and inadvertently had an illegal list. Mm-hmm. But nobody caught it. Like, not him, not his opponents, not the store, not anybody. Like, every check and balance failed.
Sure.
In your opinion, is the proper thing to disqualify them, or be like, he didn't do it intentionally? I mean, the guy in question actually brought it up. He was like, "I looked back and I screwed up." Or do you say, "You know what? Nobody caught it. Nobody said anything. You won. Leave it be."
I don't think either answer is correct. If they're still there, they're still at the tournament when everybody realizes it, and they haven't run away with the victory like this guy did, at least. In your circumstance, I think at that point you have to ask the players.
Yeah.
I don't think as a judge you can rule that either way without saying too much. I think at that point it's up to the people he played against.
Yeah, I think that's a committee decision.
Because the reason I asked is like it was at the point to where replaying it can't happen.
No, right. You can't.
You're at a point now where it's done. But is there, because the guy was like texting me, he's like, "Hey, what would you have done?" I'm like, that's just uncharted territory, because there's so many things that had to fail for that to happen. I mean, A, the guy turned in the list, changed it after he turned in his list. T.O. never checked it. His six opponents never checked it. And then they didn't check it afterwards when they posted the list online. So,
I don't want to sound untrusting, but I don't trust people. So if I had to pick, I would say disqualification, because you don't know that he didn't do it on purpose. And you assume it was probably a mistake. It's easy enough to assume it was probably a mistake. But it was his mistake. It wasn't his opponent's. It wasn't everybody else at the tournament. It was his mistake or his intentional thing that no one else caught, especially if he changed the list after he turned it in. That alone, yeah, that's honestly, bad form right there. I think that should almost be a disqualification right there. But,
well, with more, yeah. Just to clarify, like, he turned in his list the day before, you know, printed it up, turned it in, you know, and he was there like an hour before the tournament started, made an adjustment, and just didn't think about sending in an updated list. And if I remember correctly, he just didn't swap out the right card and put him at 101 points instead of 100.
Sure.
But like I said, that's complete failure in the system. And the guy even went back and said, hey, I looked back at it, and that turns out I had 101 points. And I was just like, dude, I have no idea, because that's just never happened before. Usually catches it.
Like I said, I think my instinct would be you have to disqualify him at that point. However, I think it would be good for him to ask the crowd and say, hey, he's probably going to have to be disqualified for this unless you guys agree that, you know, let him keep his victory.
Yeah.
And if the crowd agrees that, hey, you know what, it was an honest mistake, or it wouldn't have changed the game that much, let him keep his win, okay, fine. You know, if that's what the tournament wants. But I think I would default to a disqualification.
Fair enough.
I agree with that. Good cheese fries there.
Yeah.
Good cheese fries.
It was
Casey. Good cheese fries.
Casey.
No, I have never won anything.
Well, it's because you don't cheat good enough.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm way too honest of a player.
Right. Well,
I make him lift his ship off the board.
Yeah, that was the.
Greatest. I know for a fact I'll never win anything.
I just want to revisit that for a moment. That was like one of the greatest X-Wing moments of all time.
That, which one?
Just
when I three-shotted Fenrau.
Yeah. Oh.
So he puts two bombs on each side of Fenrau, and he's going to have to move on to one of them.
Hold on. I am disappointed you did not snap a picture of the expert bomb placement I put there, though.
Well, it's because you cheated.
No. I didn't cheat for the bomb placement, sir.
Well, you cheated when you put him on it.
What?
You cheated when he went on it.
Yeah, when he went on it. But I'm talking about before that. Yeah. I mean, it was expertly placed. Like, Fenrau had nowhere to go but into a bomb.
Yeah.
It was freaking amazing. Like, why he turned into that spot instead of disengaging for what, maybe a round?
Well,
like, he completely was like, yeah, I'll totally eat a proton bomb and a freaking bomblet generator with Sabine on the table.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was screwed either way. But the best part was, is like, all right, two damage, you're dead. And he just lifts his ship off, you know, no second thought about it. And they keep on playing, and me and Steven on the side are looking at each other like, Fenrau doesn't have enough damage on it. And, like, he looks down, he looks back at me with this big shit-eating grin on his face. And I'm like, Raul? And he's like, yeah, what's up? I was like, he's not dead. And he's like, yeah, he is. He has three damage. I'm like, that's not dead.
He has three damage.
That's like, not that's enough.
That's not enough. And he's like, oh, shit. Oh, can I put him back? And I'm like,
Oh, I gave him so much crap for that. I was like, nah, dude, you lifted him off the board.
Yeah, I was like, and it was just funny because I'm sitting there like, why is this? Something doesn't feel right. I'm like, you shouldn't be dead. I was looking over and Steven's smiling. I'm like, okay.
And what it was is one of his freaking Andrew cards was kind of hovering over Fenrau. So I thought it was dead. Like, it was totally bad on my part. But however, it was hilarious. I was like, yeah, your ship's dead. Get it off the table. And he listened to me. And if that was an actual tournament, I would have told him to go F himself. Sucks to be you. Count your cards. Because you bet your ass when I almost died, I was like, I think I'm dead. Hold on. Let me count. One, two, three. Oh, still alive.
But the funny part was, for the rest of that match, every time somebody took damage, we were like, count your cards. Count your cards.
Yeah.
You count them. He's like, I got three. I'm like, count them again. Count them again.
I did let him put the ship back on the board in approximate area, you know, of where everything was. I didn't go full butthole on it.
But yeah, I thought it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, it was just one of those moments where you're just like, should we say something?
Well, he did after I'd already moved like the next round too. So like he was like, "Yo, I was gonna make this move anyways." Well, yeah, that doesn't. If Fenrir's still there, that doesn't mean I'm gonna turn that way. I would have necessarily turned that way. I had options still to turn other places, but okay.
Well, the greatness that came of the whole thing was like the next day. You know, our buddy Roel, who's just the greatest. Let's just admit it. Goes on Facebook and he's like, "I went 4-0," and I was like, should have been 3-1, buddy. That was like the greatest three shot of Fenrir ever.
He doesn't play by the rules. He plays by the Raouls.
Yeah. And he tried to steal that from us.
Yeah, no, you can't steal that.
That's our phrase.
Trademark.
Yep.
That's our phrase about him, though. I mean, we do have to admit that, right?
Yeah. No, that's true, but...
Still counts.
I mean, doesn't matter. It had sex. So...
Hashtag real talk.
Yep.
God damn it, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Did we got anything else on that, or...?
On that same note, count your cards. Clean up your area. Be respectful. Don't be a douche.
Hey, no more than 15 seconds, Casey. We're going to pay for it.
Yep. Too late. We already paid the 99 cents, didn't we?
I don't know. Did we?
I can't help it when people page me for work.
Did you tell them we're doing a podcast?
Right.
It usually happens at least once a podcast.
Yeah, that's why the Wookiee will disappear for brief parts of the discussion. Because he does this while he's at his real job, people. See, this does not pay the bills. Entertaining.
Yeah, no, I'm not at my real job. My real job just decides to bug me when I'm not at work. It's fantastic.
Right. Entertaining the three of you does not pay the light bill around here.
I mean, we should start a Patreon if you guys want to pay my light bills. That'd be fantastic.
Wait, whoa. We've got three listeners?
At least.
Yeah.
Wow.
That aren't us?
I didn't know we got one more.
Yeah, we got one more.
Dude.
One of our previous listeners started putting it on for his grandmother so she could go to sleep to it.
Goodbye,
Granny. On the
All right, let's not start with the granny stuff again.
I just want to shout out to your grandma and her stained underwear. Not my fault.
All right.
That's like real talk.
So we got anything else? I'm just going to do a quick wrap up here because we're going a little bit on the longer side of our normal episode length. But Wave 11 came out. Cool stuff. I Heart Wookiee Gunship.
Yep.
The Skurk's pretty cool. The Aggressor, welcome to turret life.
Play those ships, buy them at your local game store, and support your local community.
Hashtag pay your table rent. What is it? The new or another preview of the Kirax and Star Viper fix came out with it's just another flavor of the Thweak. That is the most awesome broken ship that is ever going to hit the table. I think we can throw some of this stuff. I think we start relaying people to the faceballs, or yeah. You know, you can just go to www.guesswookiegarage, it's Wookiee with double E's because that's how you spell it, .com. That'll take you to our Facebook page, and hey, we can have discussions there. You know, we post things, but you can also talk to us there. It's kind of cool. Right. I chat, you chat, we all chat, we have a good time.
You can reach us there, and you could leave us an iTunes review, but only if it's 5 stars, because otherwise I will come to your house.
For sexy time.
Yes.
Let's see, Tuesdays we're at Doc's Comics and Games in Frisco. Well, most of us usually are for our X-Wings with a Z, so it's hip and cool for the kids.
I will be pimping some Rune Wars action at New World earlier on Tuesdays, but I'll usually be heading over to Doc's later part of the evening.
Yeah, if you want to hang out with that and learn some Rune Wars,
Jeff is an amazing teacher of things. He's actually quite the patient guy. We are also at New World on Wednesdays, also in Frisco, off of Legacy.
Right. Often playing X-Wing. There's a bit of Destiny going on. And
some Magic, you know, sometimes. Sometimes we just get bored and play some board games.
Yeah, sometimes we bust out some Ghostbusters or some Arkham or some Mansions or something.
Yeah. Yep.
Play some Dead End. Don't have to trade.
Yeah, that's usually where we are. If we go any other places, things like that, if we rep other stores, you know, we'll drop it on the Faceballs again. And we drop those on the Faceballs, so if you want to see it, cool. Check into the stores. Check out the stores. Those are the stores that kind of support us, so we support them as much as we can. And anything else before I say it? Keep on wrenching, everybody.